It's 7:41 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Veteran Jeremy Ray says he doesn't get rich by being a maple farmer, but he's found peace by working in the woods.
I'm a disabled veteran, and I needed something to take my time. I needed to get my mind busy on something, and I also wanted to find something that where my kids could help and enjoy it so we could get more time together.
Maple syrup farming in West Virginia, coming up on West Virginia Morning. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This Saturday is Mountain State Maple Day in West Virginia. Sugar shacks and maple operations around the state will open their doors to the public. Maple syrup has had a long tradition in the high mountain regions of our state, and the industry is growing. As part of our ongoing series called Appetite Appalachia this morning, we'll hear two stories about maple syrup farmers in the Mountain State. It's part of a new collaboration between West Virginia Public Broadcasting and the West Virginia Department of Agriculture. In this first story, Chris Williams introduces us to a producer who's been making maple syrup for nearly 30 years.
Brandon Daniels is a busy man. He works two jobs and is also responsible for 2,300 maple taps.
It's extremely hard work. You can't choose when the sap runs. You can choose when you cut your hay, but you can't choose when the sap runs.
Brandon has been making maple syrup in Greenbrier County for 28 years and makes around 600 to 800 gallons every year. But when he first started, he wasn't as successful.
Maybe a couple gallons with what we didn't scorch and ruin.
He says technology has played a huge part in how he and other syrup producers in West Virginia make their product.
Reverse osmosis makes a huge difference. We can take out about 85 to 90% of water before we boil it without affecting any of the flavor at all.
After the water is taken out, the remaining sap is boiled down and turned into the brown liquid called maple syrup, which is quite different from the syrup you buy in the store.
They're getting corn syrup, so it's just fructose, and it will run your blood sugar up very fast. Your body processes it very fast. It's not really, you know, anything as far as any natural minerals or anything in it.
Another advance in technology is tubing. Back in the day, maple syrup producers would hang buckets underneath the spouts. They would wait for the buckets to fill up and then carry them down to their sugar shack. The tubing connects all the trees and uses gravity to bring the sap into one big tank. The new technology and the vast amount of maple trees are causing a resurgence of maple syrup producers in the Mountain State.
You know, it's the first agriculture crop of the year.
And making the product is no easy task. To make 1 gallon of maple syrup takes anywhere between 50 to 75 gallons of sap. With more than 2,000 taps, Brandon's maple syrup production is one of the largest in West Virginia. Neither he nor anyone else in West Virginia is getting rich by making syrup.
If you had probably in the neighborhood of 10,000 taps and, you know, and you didn't have, you know, you did most of it yourself without hiring out a lot of help, you could probably make a living doing it.
The maple season lasts just 2.5 months at best. It all depends on the weather.
We like to have the freezing nights and the thawing days.
When the temperature drops below freezing, the maple trees pull the sap out of the roots. And when the temperature warms back up, the sap starts running through the tubing lines.
I mean, ideally, if you can get it down to 20s, you know, low to mid-20s at night and the 40s during the day, that's ideal.
But with technology, Brandon says maple syrup production is growing in West Virginia. According to the State Department of Agriculture's most recent maple survey, there are more than 61,000 maple trees tapped in the Mountain State.
Many years ago, there was a lot of people in West Virginia that did it. They would do it most of them just made enough for themselves. You know, it was it's kind of a sustenance. It was their sweetener and stuff, and so a lot of people made it. And it's kind of went by the wayside, but we have seen a resurgence.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Chris Williams in Greenbrier County, West Virginia.
As maple syrup farming continues to change, longtime maple makers like Brandon Daniels are sharing their knowledge with newcomers. In this next story, we meet a new maple farmer named Jeremy Ray. He's an Iraq War veteran who was looking for a hobby to fill his time. What he found was a way to heal his wounds. The West Virginia Department of Agriculture's Jennifer Smith reports.
Jeremy Ray is the proud owner of Gully River Maple. It's the first season for his new venture. He heard about maple syrup through the West Virginia Department of Agriculture's Veterans and Warriors to Agriculture program, aimed at retraining veterans for careers in agriculture. He took one maple syrup producer's class, taught in part by Brandon Daniels, and was hooked.
It's been a long time since I've been excited about anything.
Jeremy's property in Nicholas County is dotted with bright orange ribbons.
My youngest son, that's how he learned to tie his shoes this fall, was he went with me, and every time we identified a tree, he was the one that tied the ribbon on it.
He tapped one of those maple trees early this season and was rewarded with a sweet taste of things to come.
And it came out of the tree. I mean, how much more naturally filtered can you get than that? That's,
You couldn't find anyone more surprised about this venture than Jeremy himself. The 43-year-old grew up on this land, but joined the Army National Guard right out of high school. He was looking for adventure, but then came the war in Iraq, and he was deployed overseas.
The day I deployed was the day my oldest son was born, so I was with him 24 hours and then wasn't back until he was 17 months old.
Jeremy doesn't talk much about what happened in Iraq and the things he saw, only that it changed him.
10 days after I got back home, I just went to work. I went back to the Sheriff's Department and tried not to think about it.
He worked for 14 years as a Nicholas County Sheriff's Deputy, all the while suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. He managed the depression, flashbacks, and anger, or so he thought, until the day his boss called him in the office in 2011 and told him to hand in his badge. When he went home to tell his wife, she too had had enough and walked out with their two sons.
I lost everything I'd ever worked for on November 11th, 2011, Veterans Day.
It took years of intense therapy and a lot of self-reflection, but Jeremy and his family reunited. Now on medical disability, he's looking for a new normal. That's where maple syrup comes in.
I'm a disabled veteran, and I needed something to take my time. I needed to get my mind busy on something, and I also wanted to find something that where my kids could help and enjoy it so we could get more time together.
His new workplace is far from the office atmosphere that triggered his anxieties. Outside with his maple trees, there's a sense of peace.
I'm by myself and in the woods. It's really relaxing.
West Virginia Commissioner of Agriculture Kent Leonhard, a veteran himself, says Jeremy's story is not uncommon.
When you think about what the unseen wounds of war do to our veterans, and what agriculture can do to help them heal. Veterans with that affliction, they don't want to be in an office. They don't want to have windows and doors and be around a lot of people. They want to be outside, which is why our beekeepers do so well with it. It's why maple syrup is an ideal therapy.
Jeremy might be a maple novice, but he's spreading the word.
Maple, it's nobody around here really knows about it, but everybody around here could do it if they wanted to. You know, in West Virginia, there's, you know, untapped potential everywhere. If a crazy disabled vet can do it, anybody can.
Including Jeremy's six-year-old son, Jackson, who tags along with his dad every chance he gets. Jeremy says one day, Gully River Maple will belong to Jackson and his older brother, a legacy of love born from the wounds of war. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jennifer Smith. In Nicholas County, West Virginia.
Those stories were part of a collaboration between West Virginia Public Broadcasting, Inside Appalachia, and the West Virginia Department of Agriculture. On our website, we've posted photos and more information about the 15 different events scheduled for this Saturday's Mountain State Maple Day. That's all at wvpublic.org. The 2018 County Health Rankings Report was released. It found significant health disparities across the state, particularly between North and South. Kara Lofton has more.
The report found that West Virginians living with poor or fair health range between 18% of residents in Jefferson County, the healthiest county in the state, to 33% in McDowell, the least healthy county in the state. Almost a quarter of West Virginia children are living in poverty compared to a U.S. rate of 20%. The rate of children in poverty ranges by county from 12 to 44%.
That number in West Virginia is of particular concern given that kids who grow up in poverty don't have the same opportunity from an early age to attain the same healthy life that children with more resources have.
That's Jerry Spegman, a community coach with County Health Rankings and Roadmaps Organization.
That measure really goes to the heart of the purpose of County Health Rankings, which is to broaden the definition of health and help communities recognize that health is not simply a function of having access to good hospitals or good doctors and nurses. It really is a function of a wide range of factors in the community that impact the ability of all of us to have healthy lives and the opportunities for healthy lives.
Spegman says one of the key findings of the report is that those opportunities are not equally distributed at all. Where you live matters, and if we want to remedy some of West Virginia's health issues, the focus is going to have to be local and community-wide. The report concluded with evidence-informed suggestions for community improvement. Invest in education from early childhood through adulthood. Increase or supplement income and support asset development in low-income households. Ensure that everyone has adequate, affordable health care coverage. And foster social connections within communities and cultivate empowered and civically engaged youth. I pointed out to Spegman that most of these initiatives cost money, a resource West Virginia is in short supply of.
There are ways to address community health that aren't entirely dependent on funding. On the other hand, it's undeniable that investments in young children, in their education, in their preparation to be workforce ready, will pay long-term dividends. And so there are some instances in which the lack of resources needs to be addressed head on, and policymakers need to take a hard look at the need to invest dollars now in order to provide for a healthier and more prosperous future for their communities moving forward.
The County Health Rankings are produced by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the University of Wisconsin. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Kara Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, with support from Marshall Health, Charleston Area Medical Center, and WVU Medicine. Some educators in West Virginia are using the historic 9-day strike as a teachable moment in the classroom. As Molly Bourne reports, one teacher in Wyoming County has been especially candid with his young students.
Andrew Thomas doesn't teach math, but there's an important equation on the whiteboard of his classroom at Mullins Middle School in Wyoming County. $32,000 times 5% equals $1,600. The bigger number is his salary, and the rest, he tells his students, is what he and thousands of other teachers fought for at the Capitol in Charleston this month.
We are so underpaid, guys, and I think I've told you about my salary several times. I make $1,000 every 2 weeks, $1,042 every 2 weeks. Guys, this is a hard way to live in Southern West Virginia, particularly, especially as a teacher.
2 days after the statewide teacher strike ended, Thomas's fifth grade social studies students are back in their dimly lit classroom as snow falls lightly outside. Next to a teacher's union poster is a laminated copy of a newspaper front page about Donald Trump. Thomas is a 25-year-old Mullins native. With youthful energy and passion, he says he considers himself a changed man now as he speaks candidly with his students.
I'm a conservative Republican. I fight for the rights of conservatives. However, I am very disappointed in the behavior and the attitudes of the Republicans in the Senate.
A group of Senate Republicans held out for days backing a 4% raise, less than the 5% one teachers were demanding. Thomas has never voted for a Democrat and says he still supports Trump, but his allegiance to some state Republicans is shaken.
1 2-week strike has changed my views. That's all it took.
Thomas is still deeply affected by the strike, and he does most of the talking in this class. He shows students a video featuring State Senator Richard Ojeda, a Democratic candidate for Congress, who has gained something of a celebrity status among conservatives and liberals alike.
All over this nation, they are seeing what's going on.
I typically don't like to endorse candidates or anything like that because it's just not necessarily appropriate for fifth grade class, but I want them to see, you know, the ones that are fighting for us. This, like I told my kids, it's just sparked a little bit of a revolution in me.
Wyoming County is in the heart of West Virginia's Southern Coalfields, and it was among the first school districts in the state to announce a work stoppage. After the strike, at least a handful of school systems discouraged or outright barred teachers from discussing it in their classrooms, some teachers say. But not at Mullins Middle, where Principal Terry Smith encourages it.
I didn't have any reservations with my teachers because I like to have answers for students. And if they hear it on the television or on the radio, they can't ask questions. And this way, their questions can be answered with someone that was there and actually knows what's going on.
11-year-old Kylie Simmons is in Thomas's class. Her parents are both teachers at Mullins Elementary and joined fellow educators at the Capitol.
It's just cool to be here while it's happening instead of learning about it through a book from a long time ago.
Some of the lessons bring painful reminders of what life is like in this part of the state.
What's the one thing that we all are? Starts with a P.
Poor.
We're pretty much all poor, right? And who are the forgotten ones? Not just teachers. Cops, teachers, the middle class, right? Remember we talked about the high class, they just want to, the upper class, they just want to what? Line their pockets. It just makes life really hard on them.
There's not much about this story that's likely to be forgotten. West Virginia teachers demanding better pay and benefits for themselves and other state workers have inspired educators elsewhere, including some in Oklahoma and Kentucky, who are threatening a strike of their own. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Molly Bourne.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. I'm Teresa Wills. Glennis Board is our producer.